Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Well, so good to be with you guys tonight. Everybody doing all right? Good to see you guys. Like Pastor Bruce said, I serve as our pastor, our lead pastor in Clarksville, Tennessee, and we have some Clarksville graduates tonight. So excited about that. Primarily, we are going to be speaking just to the graduates tonight, but we are going to be talking about the Word of God, so it's going to speak to every one of us. Amen? And hopefully it's all right. I'm going to talk to you. I'm an old football player, and so I'm going to talk to our graduates like my coach talked to me. So if I get aggressive and loud, I'm not mad, I'm not angry. I'm just excited because I know great things are ahead for these men and women that are that have taken this step and are graduating tonight. You know, all of my life, I grew up wanting to do one thing, and that was to play football in the greatest college conference, which is the SEC, the Southeastern Conference. That was my dream growing up. I actually attended high school right down the street at Brentwood Academy, had a great football career there. But that whole time I was there, man, I was playing and going to school because I wanted to play in the SEC. That was my dream. Now, I wasn't necessarily recruited to play in the SEC, so I ended up going to a junior college and playing. I had a full scholarship to go play baseball in a junior college in Florida. I had a great year being there, but again, as I was there playing baseball there, again, the dream in my heart was I wanted to play in the SEC. And so I ended up calling my mom and dad. Now, if you're a parent in here like I am, I have five children, and I would never allow my kids to do this. And I'm sure as you hear this, you're thinking, what were they thinking? I called my mom and dad, and I said, Mom and Dad, I want to leave this full scholarship, and I want to walk on to one of the SEC schools. Now, as a parent, if you don't understand what that means, full scholarship means mom and daddy pay no money. Walking on means mom and daddy pay all the money. I don't know why they did it, but they ended up just simply saying, okay, Lance, if that is your dream, you go, you run for it. So it was my dad and I played quarterback. So as my dad and I began to look at the different quarterbacks in the SEC, we figured that Ole Miss was the best chance that I had. That was the shot that I had, Pastor Bruce, was to go to Ole Miss. So here I am. I show up at Ole Miss. I really, as a walk-on, I made the team. I was backup quarterback. But I started hearing that they were recruiting someone. They were recruiting someone that was going to come play, that wanted to play quarterback at Ole Miss. And his name was Eli Manning. So I hear that Eli Manning says, yes, he is going to attend Ole Miss. My hope was that he would go where? To the University of Tennessee and follow his brother. But that did not happen. So here comes Eli Manning to Ole Miss. And I just knew, man, I don't have a shot. So what do? I get back on the phone. I'm calling mom and dad. Mom and Dad, I didn't think it was going to happen like this, but you know what? Eli's showing up, so I'm going to just go, come back home. I grew up in the Middle Tennessee area, and I'm going to walk on and see what happens at Middle Tennessee State University. Now, this whole time, I'm not serving God at all. I grew up going to church a little bit, but never really gave my life to Jesus Christ. I show up on campus at Middle Tennessee State University, and I started to watch this one man named Delvin Pikes. You guys know Delvin. Delvin works here at Bethel. Delvin was our starting free safety. I just began to watch the way he lived. Watching him, because this was a man that he didn't just talk the talk, but he actually walked the walk. And I began to see that this man is a real man of God. And it began to speak to me. And a couple of months later, I ended up giving my life over to Jesus Christ. Got radically saved. Meeting my lovely wife, Deanna, there at the church. And so one day, Pastor Bruce, I'm going to write a book how Eli Manning stole my dream but pushed me into my destiny. So that book would sell, I believe. Why I tell you that story is simply this, really to you graduates, is that I made a decision that I was going to live my life with no regrets. With no regrets. I'm so thankful that, number one, my parents allowed me to do it, but also that I just ran for it. You know, I didn't worry about what was going to happen, who was going to show up. I just went for it. And I'm so thankful that I can look back on my life, especially, you know, my college career, and see that, man, I went after with everything that I had. I lived with no regrets. Now, all of us, though, if you're here tonight and you think about your life, you know, that doesn't mean that I lived a perfect life. I'm not saying that at all. But thank God that because we are born again, because we give our lives over to Jesus Christ, He forgives us of those things that we sometimes do regret. If you're here tonight, you're like me, you have a story. You have things in your life that you wish would never have happened. But thank God in Christ, we are forgiven of those things that we sometimes do regret. But you know what? A lot of times what we do, we talk about no regrets. We do this on our job. We live with no regrets. We do it when it comes to maybe things that allow us to make money. But yet, what about living with no regrets when it comes to our relationships or our marriage or our children? Or more importantly, what about to you graduates, the call of God upon your life? See, I think one of the things that really fights living this way is the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear keeps us paralyzed. It paralyzes us. It keeps us bound. It keeps us from running and living our lives with no regrets. This life that we live is a life of faith. We're called to follow Jesus by faith. One of the prayers I used to always pray, and really as I begin to grow in my relationship with God, I begin to see that this prayer is really unbiblical. And that was, God, I want you to give me the blueprint for my life. See, a blueprint is what? You follow each step and out pops what you're trying to build, what you're trying to construct. But following Jesus, there's no blueprint to following Jesus. The only blueprint that we have is what? His living word. And He has called us to live by faith. But yet, as we are living by faith, trusting in Him, all of us, at one point, we will battle the spirit of fear. See, the spirit of fear has many voices. And it likes to hold us and keep us back. Every day I wake up, even though I'm a pastor, even though I've been serving God now for 16 years, I still battle this voice in my ear telling me, give up, throw in the towel, you can't do it, you're not going to make it. God doesn't have whatever you're believing for. He's not going to give it to you. See, the spirit of fear always tries to hold us back. And graduates, this is what you will battle. As you step out into God's calling, God's destiny, you will hear this voice, and you will hear it many times. But I'm thankful that the gospel has good news for you and I tonight. It has good news for us. First off, the good news is if you're here tonight and you hear some of those voices, you're not good enough. If you hear those voices, you're not going to make it. God doesn't have, you're in good company. Because guess what? All of us hear that. Every single one of us hear those voices that try to keep us back. But God has called us to live with no regrets. You know, I remember, Pastor, if you don't know it, Pastor Mike and Christy, where's Mikey at? He's not even in here. My good friend is not even here, Pastor Bruce. Oh, okay. Exactly. My good friend, Pastor Mike and Christy, we were in our church in Murfreesboro, and my lovely wife, and see, it was how many years ago? 11 years ago. 2004, I believe that's 11 years ago. Is that right? Something like that. 12 years ago. 12 years ago, we end up stepping out and planting our church in Clarksville, Tennessee. September 12, 2004, we launched our church there in Clarksville. 5-6 years goes by, church is going great, and I don't know what happened, but Pastor Mike and Christy had this wild idea that they were going to leave and go start our campus ministry in Lexington and then come here to be a part of our church in Brentwood. And I remember Mike coming to me and saying, champ, now, when you're a part of Bethel and you hear the word champ, you know something bad is probably coming. It was like a long champ. Champ. Something's happening. And he began to tell me how he believed that God was moving him on and all this stuff. And I looked at Mike and I said, I said, you are not leaving me here with all these crazy people. You are not leaving me here. So ended up, what do? They left me all there, all by myself. And a couple of weeks later, here comes Pastor Fikri. Pastor Fikri Eustace was with us at the time, him and his wife, Margaret. What do? They come to me, champ, we got to go plant this church in Miami. I'm thinking, my friends are just jumping. I mean, they are leaving me. And then my good friend, Brock Lillis, who pastors our church in Murfreesboro. A couple of weeks later, champ, I feel like God's calling me to go take our church in Murfreesboro. So here my lovely wife and I, we had this amazing team, and then we're left there all alone. Don't you know the voices begin to come? Spirit of fear begin to arise. One of the things that I knew that we needed to do was we needed to expand our facility. We were like you guys. We were growing as a church. We wanted to step out and believe God for a bigger facility because as long as there's one lost person in our community, we're not big enough. This is the value that we carry. Jesus values people, therefore we do. And I remember just sitting there asking God, God, you know, what do you want to do with this building? And I believe that God wanted us to expand. He wanted us to grow. But I remember sitting there. We were raising money, doing everything you guys are doing. And I remember hearing over and over and over again, you're not going to make it. God's not going to provide for you. You're not going to see this church grow. The spirit of fear, just battling it. But I'm here to say today, thank God that we've blown out the walls. We've gone from 200 seats to 400 seats. See, God fulfills his promises, doesn't he? He doesn't. He fulfills them for us. So to our graduates, as you're stepping out today, if you're going to do anything great for God, you're going to have to battle the spirit of fear. Anything. If you are going to do anything great for God, if you're going to advance his kingdom in any way, you will fight and battle the spirit of fear. And I'm just going to give you three little quick things here to really help you as you battle this. And number one is simply, how do we see this overcome in our life? Well, number one, we simply understand God's acceptance. God has accepted you and I in Christ. No matter what your past is, no matter what it is today, or no matter what it will be, we are accepted in Christ. The Bible tells us that our life has been hid with Christ in God. It's very interesting in Matthew chapter 3. God comes and there's a voice that is spoken, and it's God's voice. And he says over Jesus, he says, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." Now, what's so significant about that is when you turn over to Matthew chapter 4, is we find the Son of God, Jesus, facing the temptation of the enemy. The enemy's coming at Jesus, and he's asking him to do certain things. And what's significant about this is what Satan is trying to do, and this really is his A game. This is his tactic against you and I. Is he comes at Jesus and he asks him, he says, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. What is Satan doing there? What he's trying to get Jesus to do is trying to get Jesus to say that the Father's declaration was not enough. That you need to go prove who you are. You go identify who you are. The Father's declaration is not enough. But for Christ, what did he say? He said, it is written. See, for Christ, what the Father said over his life, it was enough. Jesus never felt like he had to define himself, prove himself. Graduates, this is what you will battle. The enemy will constantly come at you. Do this, prove that. All you have to simply say, no, I'm a child of God. I'm born again. I'm accepted because what of Christ has done for me. I have a new identity. The old has gone, the new has come. See, the Father's declaration has to be enough for you tonight to get through and battle against the spirit of fear. Knowing who you are in Christ is one of the greatest identities, and I'm sorry, the greatest weapon that you could ever have in battling the spirit of fear. Number two is simply this. Number two is his spirit. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, we see Jesus giving us what's called the Great Commission, the apostolic mandate, that we are called to go therefore, to make disciples of the nations of the earth. But I love what he closes with. He says, and lo, I will always be with you, even to the end of the age. Jesus proves to us that he's with us because why? His spirit lives on the inside of us. His spirit lives on the inside of you and I. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's our counselor. He's our helper. He's the one who guides us into all truth. You know, I talked about us building that building. I talked about some of the struggles that I went through asking God, God, what do we do? Before we ever built the building, before we ever blew out the walls and expanded, you know, I begin to think to myself, are we supposed to go buy a piece of land? Are we supposed to sell this building, buy another building? Lord, what are we supposed to do? And it's interesting. The one thing I heard, I asked all these specific questions, but the one thing I kept hearing over and over and over again was this: whatever you do, do in faith. And I thought to myself, God, that doesn't help me right now. That's not what I'm asking. But God knew what he was doing. See, God knew that I need to hear something simple. This is how I believe the Holy Spirit, he talks to us. He speaks to us in very simple phrases, phrases that we can remember. And then he said to me this one simple thing. He said, I'm with you. I'm with you. See, when we know who is with us, who lives on the inside of us, we can overcome anything that we may face. Any fear, any doubt, any insecurity. So it's not just his acceptance, but it's his spirit. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you and I. And the last thing is simply his voice. I love the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, I love God coming to Joshua, this next generation leader that's called to conquer land and take over kingdoms. And I love what God says to Joshua. He tells him to be strong. Be very courageous. And he even asked Joshua a question. He said, did I not command you? See, so many times we read that, then we skip right over to the very next thing. But he said, did I not command you to be strong, to be courageous, not to be dismayed? Tonight, graduate, this is what God is saying to you, to be strong, to be courageous, do not be dismayed, for he's with you. He has accepted you. Amen? The last verse I want to read as we close is this. 2 Timothy, I believe, chapter 4, 7 through 8, really should be our ambition as we move from this moment tonight. Paul tells young Timothy, he says this, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Tonight, let's live with no regrets. Let's fight the good fight. Let's know that you're accepted by him. Let's know that his spirit lives in you and his voice. You can hear his voice. Amen. Father, I thank you for every one of these graduates. Lord, tonight I thank you, Lord, as they go and step out. Lord, I thank you they're stepping out in faith. Lord, I thank you that they will, God, fight and battle the spirit of fear. But Lord, as they go, they do not go alone. Praise the Lord. Lord, they go knowing that, Lord, who they are in Christ, or they go knowing, Lord, that you're with them, that you'll never leave them nor forsake them. Lord, I pray you give them ears to hear like never before, that voice encouraging them, challenging them, pushing them forward. In Jesus' name, amen.